right, back out of here on The Fan. It is Afternoon Drive. Jonathan Pito and Nick Padone with you guys as you gloriously fist pump a promo for your show with Daryl on Sundays.
You like that? I didn't know if you caught that out of the corner of your eye there.
I did. No, I catch everything. That was really fun for me. I enjoyed that. Daryl's going to be joining us coming up at 6 o'clock, by the way. We're going to reunite the two of you. So wait, give me some dynamics of the two of you guys on air together. Is it a – I know on the air, off the air is more what I'm interested in. Who's the dominant one in that relationship?
It's a cool, like, lame, like, I feel like he's, like, the lame big brother, and I'm, like, the cool little brother.
Okay, well, describe that for him that way, okay?
Okay.
Will he be responsive to being the lame older brother, and you're the cool little brother?
I think so.
He's also, like, 20 years older than you. You know that, right? He is old enough to be your dad. You're 20.
What were we going to get into?
Hold on,
here,
wait,
Mac?
Wait. You're 26.
Yeah.
Is that right? I got that right. 26.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's so young. I love this for you, by the way. I love this for you. Daryl's 47. Like, Daryl legitimately could be your dad. I don't know where you were. I don't know where Daryl was. Maybe I don't know. 21 years ago at this time. How well do you know your parents?
Pretty well.
Yeah.
And I look just like my dad.
You
so,
do?
Yeah,
he can't beat those charges?
No. And especially I definitely think it's – I'm sticking with the older brother and cool younger brother dynamic kind of what we've got going. But it's been fun. And we're – you know, Sunday will be our kind of wrap-up show that gets people into – Cleveland Browns programming with you, Lance, me, Jake on Cleveland Browns tailgate. So it's going to be fun.
Very cool. Love the idea that we're going to have you there for some of the pregame stuff, you and Jake, and then lead into me and Coach Riz. Going to be a good time. Also a good time, let's get to quick hits.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
go Angels!
To the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry.
It's quick hits.
All right, we're going to start off. Deion Sanders has made a pitch to give bonuses to players for the college football playoff. So the idea is pretty simple. If you make it into the college football playoff, you then get a bonus. And with each game that you get to, you get a larger bonus, a bigger share. It sounds obvious when Deion says it. It's surprising that Deion has to be the one that is vocal for this, but this seems like a no-brainer. Do you feel like something like this would actually work?
I feel like it would work, JP. I feel like it is something that should happen. When Coach Prime said that, I was like, yeah, this makes a lot of sense. The NCAA makes a ton of money. These universities make a ton of money. Give a little bit to the players, especially the ones that are performing. And those, like, the ratings for those playoff games last year, and some of those games weren't great. Boise State kind of got curb stomped there. Like, some of those games were not stellar. So I'm all for throwing the players a couple extra bones, especially come college football playoff, because that means that you've done something with your season and you should be rewarded.
Yeah, winners of the Super Bowl last year got $171,000. Like, there's money to be given.
Yeah, that'll play.
They give the schools themselves all get checks. I believe it's about $4.5 million, and then it goes up with each passing round that they get. Why are we cutting a check to these schools in this scenario?
It's cool that Prime, like, continues to be the outspoken person about some of the things that are wrong with college football. I know that alarmed a lot of people when he started at Jackson State, and then it was only amplified when he went to Colorado. Some people didn't really like that, but Coach Prime is going to continue to push the envelope and push the issue on some things like
that. I just love the idea, because everyone thinks in the NIL world that everyone that plays gets just a bunch of money,
right?
And it's just not true. I mean, there's a lot of people that are guy number 42 on Indiana that never made anything more than like a $5,000, here's just a bonus for being on the team, and that's all you end up getting. Like, there's a lot of players that fall into that category of basically ending up with it was basically pennies on the dollar compared to someone like a Jeremiah Smith or an Arch Manning. Break off some bread for some of these guys. I love that idea.
Especially if they've done well with their season or winning football games, I think they should get something a little extra.
Mm-hmm. Next up.
Alrighty, next up. We've got Dylan Raiola.
Yeah.
Gotta have this conversation.
Yeah, cosplaying as Patrick Mahomes.
I'm not a fan of this. What are we doing with this?
He even is doing, like, the finger thing that Mahomes does.
And the walk out of the tunnel, like what Mahomes does at Arrowhead, where he pumps up the crowd.
Well, so this one was at Arrowhead, so this one was a little bit different.
That's what makes it a little bit weirder to me, though.
No, but what's weird is the idea that Nebraska versus Cincinnati is played in Kansas City to begin with anyway. That makes it weird, and it's weird because whoever organized this game years ago did so with the idea that Dylan Raiola gets to play out all his cosplaying fantasies and gets to pretend to be the real Patrick Mahomes. That's what makes it weird.
So, like, Dylan Raiola, like, he's become famous for cosplaying Patrick Mahomes, but this is, like, a very highly rated quarterback in his class.
He's
good. This is a quarterback that
he's good.
Probably not, you
he's
know,
not
this
great.
Year because he's not eligible to come out,
but
2 years from now, like, we could potentially be talking about the NFL. Like, how do NFL draft evaluators feel about you dressing up as Patrick Mahomes, who currently exists in the National Football League?
Well, I think I always thought that was kind of the sleight of hand that he was going for, is I'll dress like Mahomes, I'll wear Mahomes' number, I'll look like Mahomes, and then an NFL team is just going to believe I am Mahomes.
I feel like somebody should probably tell him to quit it. I feel like somebody should tell him to knock it.
We've all had baseball players or different players in sports where just because they look kind of like the guy, we just relate it to him. And then you have to like knock some sense into yourself and be like, okay, but it's not. And I think the funny thing about Dylan Raiola, if anything is funny about it to me, is that he just convinced himself that if he acted this way and dressed this way, that maybe, just maybe, people would start to believe that he is Patrick Mahomes.
All right, I hate to say, I kind of agree with that. I had really long hair when I was younger, and I had some Ricky Rubio comps on the basketball.
You got the Rubio comps?
Yeah. I did. So.
And it wasn't because you had sweet handles.
Guilty as charged.
Ricky Rubio, also somebody that doesn't get mentioned often on this show.
Guilty as charged.
And I'm not even going to the reasons why.
All right. Next one.
Omaha! He's not here. I can't do it. I can't do it. You're not inquisitive at all. Mac is pissed that you're not asking me about this right now.
Went right over my head.
Mac is very mad that you're not doing a follow-up.
I feel like Nick Wilson will thank me for that later.
Fine. All right. Jets GM says Justin Fields can follow Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold's path in time. Darren Moogie is – I think that's how it – is that how we say his name? Is it Moogie? Is it Muggy? He has not made enough of a splash for me to know how to say the Jets – GM's last name.
I like Moogie.
We're going to go with Moogie?
I like it.
All right. Can Justin Fields actually be Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold?
No. Now we're doing this weird thing where any and every former first-round pick can become Sam Darnold or Baker Mayfield. We're going to do this with Anthony Richardson probably next year. How many teams are going to fall for this trap that you, as a former first-round pick, can make $100 million in your career? You could be the guy that turns everything around. That's why I was glad to see the Browns just wipe their hands of the Kenny Pickett thing. I feel like those guys that can resurrect their careers and can turn things around are kind of a dime a dozen. I hope for Justin Fields, because I actually am a Justin Fields fan, that he can have kind of a career renaissance like that, and maybe throwing passes to Garrett Wilson will help some things. But if it hasn't worked thus far, you had ample opportunity in Chicago. You had a chance last year in Pittsburgh, even though it was kind of fleeting. Here's another one in New York, and if this one bottoms out, then it certainly is not happening.
I feel bad for him, though, because if there is somebody that could tap into this because the circumstances weren't great around him previously, I would say it would be Justin Fields. I just don't think he's got enough talent, but he had no help in Chicago. He had zero help in Pittsburgh. I mean, every quarterback that goes to Pittsburgh, they kill quarterbacks there is all they do. And so if anybody could do something, I have a feeling it would be someone with the path that Justin Fields has been on. Like, the identity there, or at least the simple connection for myself, Fields has now been in four different offenses in 5 years. Baker, that was the big knock when he was here, and then when he was going around to Carolina and then L.A. and then settled in Tampa Bay, is that he's had eight different coordinators in 9 seasons. Like, he just had a million different coordinators, million different people, and then once he finally got the right situation, the right setup, then he popped off. And so if there's hope for the Fields family, because they're the only people that roots for Justin Fields at this point, there's hope for the Fields family, it would be that.
I'm with
Omaha!
Already, the NFL, JP, I don't know if you saw this yesterday, dropped their rivalry uniforms for the NFC West.
Oh, yeah, I kind of did like some of these.
And the AFC East. I like some of these as well. I thought there were some hits. I thought there were some whiffs.
The Bills one I thought was really cool.
I like the Bills one.
I'm
not
a uni
Arizona
guy.
One.
Are you a big uni guy?
I'm a big uni guy.
You seem like a big uni guy.
Here's my thing. I feared for these that the NFL was going to turn into what the NBA is, where you turn on an NBA. I'm not an NBA uni guy.
Okay.
Where you turn on a game and the Milwaukee Bucks are wearing teal uniforms, and you say, wait a minute, the Milwaukee Bucks colors are not teal. I was worried we were going to go like in a direction with that. Would you want to see the Browns in some NFL rivalry unis?
I just thought they looked cool. I don't know what they would do with the Browns to make it look cool, though.
That's
like,
what I'm
like
saying.
The Bills ice out stuff was pretty sweet.
And like the AFC East, you've got a lot of teams that you can do things that are creative with. Same with the NFC West. Like the Rams, you could get creative with those colors.
But you can't go too far is the problem, though. If you go too far, you'll start to look like the XFL.
So what would the Browns? Like, the Browns would be all orange, I feel like.
It's got to be something like that, but you still have to be the team. Again, the problem that other NFL-adjacent type leagues that have started up have run into is that they just look so comical. They just look so like any given Sunday-esque, and it just doesn't look good, and then you feel like you're watching something that isn't even the NFL anymore, and I'm worried about that for the NFL. You still have to keep some of the main jerseys out there.
And that's why I was going to say, like, I'm kind of glad that the Browns didn't get one. I feel like we've reached nirvana with the Browns uniforms. Like, this current iteration, they look like the Browns. In my mind, that's what the Cleveland Browns should look like on
the
field.
Getting them, I think, in 2028?
I think so. They are coming.
We're the last year to be rolled out.
They are coming.
And so we're getting them. It's just going to be a couple years. And that'll be all right. I'll be ready to embrace it then. All right.
Omaha!
Nick, you're a big gambler.
Oh, yeah.
I know that about you. I'm also a big gambler. Legal NFL betting estimated to reach a high of $30 billion in 2025. That is up from last year where they were $27.5 billion. There's no slowing this down, right?
No way. No way. And I know so many people tried to turn the molehill that was the Manuel Clase and Luis Ortiz allegations into
a
mountain.
We'll get into that in a little bit.
And that's to come. Listen, legalized gambling, I really think is a good thing because all of these sports books have partnerships with the leagues and they know when something nefarious is happening. I think for fans, it's an element to the game where, you know, you've got a parlay, your buddy's got a parlay, you've got your rooting interests in the games, what's happening on the field, but also for your financial situation. Like, I'm a fan of it. I don't think it's going anywhere.
It extends your interest, too, is the other part of this. Like, it extends, you'll watch more games. But me and you watch all the games anyway because it's part of our job. But for the most people,
because we're sickos,
basically. But for most people that aren't sickos, you're like, oh, Thursday night game. Let me throw a couple dollars on that, and so then I watch a Dolphins versus Bengals game that maybe I wouldn't have watched previously. And
right.
So, like, from that perspective, it obviously only helps. But I think $30 billion is such a huge
number
for that. Anybody that ever thinks that it is in any way slowing down, just say $30 billion when baseball is a $12 billion a year organization. Football is about somewhere between $12 to $13 billion. Like, the NBA is around $11 billion. Like think about the numbers that they do yearly and then think about $30 billion being wagered on the NFL. It's wild. All things considered. All right, we'll leave that there. We come on back. We're going to get into Ohio State and Texas. Joshua Perry won a national championship with the Buckeyes. He now does work for the NBC Sports and part of the Big Ten Network as well. He's got a podcast, too. He'll break this game down and what exactly Arch Manning versus Julian Sayin means for the Buckeyes. It's Nick Padone. It's Jonathan Peterlin. We are at the Barley House with you guys right here on Afternoon Drive.